Good afternoon, Eli.
Good afternoon, Lazarus.
How you doing today?
Not too good. I'm a little bit worn out. Hannah and I just got back from the market.
Well, no wonder you're worn out. It's hard work pushing that cart up the hill with all the stuff in it and all the way through town.
Yeah, but Hannah was pushing. I was in the cart.
Yeah, you are getting old.
I've been thinking about getting old a lot lately. And since I may not have much time left, I was wondering if I could ask you a question.
Sure.
Well?
What is it? What do you want to know? What's the question that you are asking me?
Yes, well,
let me guess. You want to know what it's like to die.
Yes, exactly. You have more experience being dead than anyone I know.
So you want to know what it's like to die. Well, one thing, it's not fun. First, you get out the terrible fever, and then you hurt all over in the body, and you have to listen to your sisters crying every night beside your bed, and then...
No, that's not what I mean. I mean, what's it like to be dead?
Well, I have to give some thought to that. I really can't say.
Is it that bad?
Oh, no. It's wonderful. I really can't put it into words. That's the trouble. I wouldn't have come back from death except because of the love of my Savior. I heard him say, "Lazarus, come out." And I had to come out.
You were a different person after you came back, you know. I liked you better after you died.
No, thanks a lot.
No, you know what I mean. I liked you better after you died and came back.
Why is this?
Before you died, you were always busy working. You never had time to talk. But after you came back, I'd see you sitting on outside with Hannah in the evening, the two of you just talking, and you'd come over to the house, you and Hannah, and we had such good times after you died and came back.
Well, after I came back, it just didn't make sense to be rushing around, having all those schedules, trying to get everything done, get it perfect, keep the house, keep the fields, keep the livestock, do this, do that, when I know what's waiting for me after this life is better than anything I can build here. People just seem a lot more important than possessions now.
And you're braver now. I couldn't believe how you fought off those robbers that were trying to steal Ben's sheep. You could have been killed.
But that's just it. I'm not afraid of death anymore. I'm not afraid to take risks to help other people. You remember when Jesus told us, when he stood before us, I stood before and I was all wrapped up in the grave cloths after he had called me from the tomb? Unbind him and let him go. I'm free. I'm free from having to worry about myself.
I'll never forget when he shouted, "Lazarus, come out."
You know, I think of those words every day. They give me purpose in life. He called me out of the grave for a reason, and that's that he needs me here. He has more work for me to do. And he taught us what to do. We all knew that from the very beginning that he was a wise teacher.
Everyone said he was a prophet.
But only God has power over death. He taught us how to live, and he showed us how to live. When I think of him, God, Jesus, trudging from village to village, living like a beggar at the mercy of others.
Just so he could heal people and teach us.
And show us how to love. That's all the purpose I need in life, Eli, to follow him, even if it means death again.
Speaking of death, when I die, will you come to my funeral?
Well, of course. As a famous man once said, if you don't go to other people's funerals, they won't come to yours.
And I guess he was right, because I came to your funeral.
Wow. Well, have a good day, Eli.
You too.
Well, thank you, Eli and Lazarus. But, of course, the story of Lazarus' death and resurrection was not humorous. On this All Saints Day, when we remember those loved ones who've gone before us, it's a painful thing. And I think we see that pain in the gospel story. You didn't get the whole story, the part leading up to the reading for today. When we think of it through Mary's eyes, I think we can sense the pain. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were apparently never married, and these two sisters and brother lived together and were very close. And they were also very close to Jesus. He spent time in their homes, ate with them. They knew what he was like. They probably saw him do some healings. They certainly heard about it. They knew he had great powers. So when Lazarus became sick, Mary did what any one of us would do. She looked for the best doctor. And, of course, that was Jesus. He wasn't in the area at the time, so she sent him a message. And it said, "Lazarus, the one you love, is sick. Come." And then, of course, she rested easy, thinking it's just a matter of time. We can imagine her sitting beside Lazarus in his fevered state, looking at the door every once in a while, listening for footsteps, thinking, any time now, Jesus is going to come and this will all be over. But he didn't come. And the hours went into days, and her heart began to ache because Lazarus was getting sicker and no Jesus. And finally, Lazarus died. And then they buried him in a cave. And 4 days after they buried him, Jesus comes. So you can imagine there's some anger in Mary's voice when she meets him for the first time and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But then Jesus does something that makes her understand that she's wrong about him. He begins to cry. He sees her crying. He sees Lazarus gone and buried. He sees the people crying. He begins to cry. In the Old King James, it's the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. And if you look at the Greek translation, you get a better understanding of what Jesus was feeling. He was distraught. It was like his insides were bursting. He was so upset, so sad, so angry. And they went to the place where Lazarus was buried in the tomb. And Jesus made this ridiculous request. Not only ridiculous, but it wasn't it wasn't kosher. He said, "Open the tomb." Now, Jewish people did not touch dead bodies. Not if they didn't have to, not after they'd been prepared. But he said, "Open the tomb." And they did. And when he stood there, looking into that tomb and shouted, "Lazarus, come out," you can imagine the crowd thought he was crazy, you know, crazed with grief. But you can also imagine how they looked when they started to see some motion in the entrance to that tomb. And when some form began to emerge, a man all bound up with these grave claws. I assume people fainted, screamed, ran away, said it's a ghost. It would be terrifying. But I imagine Mary, when she saw that form and recognized, of course, that it was her brother, alive, knew then that Jesus had not betrayed them, that he had snatched her brother from death, that he had not betrayed them, that he was victorious over death. And he made that claim then, his final victory words in this statement, "Unbind him and let him go." And I think those are the words that are meant to resonate with us this morning. Unbind us and let us go. Because in some ways we too are bound by death, as Lazarus was bound in those claws. You can see it in the way we respond to death. We deny it as a society. You know, we don't say someone died. We say they passed on, we lost them. We're afraid of that word. Or we may react to death by trying to outrun it, you know. If we stay physically fit and mentally fit, maybe we can just push death farther and farther away. Or maybe we try to outsmart death. and figure, okay, so I'm going to die. Well, I know that, but I'm going to live my life to the hilt while I'm here. And so we slavishly, you know, gather our possessions and around us, and we slavishly tick off all the things on our bucket list that we want to do before we die. But you see, we're still being controlled by death. I think it's kind of like waking up before your alarm goes off, and you're lying there thinking, any minute now I'm going to hear that horrible sound. You're not sleeping. We live under the shadow of death because we fear it. But the gospel today tells us something different about death. It tells us something completely different. It says, yes, it is painful. Yes, it is horrible. Yes, it's very sad. But we don't have to fear it because, first of all, God is with us. When we are on our deathbed, God will be there. As we watch a loved one die, God is with us. And not only that, but we understand from the gospel that God is not passive. God is not distant. God hurts for us. God feels for us. And the second reason we don't fear death is not only is God with us, but God promises that one day God will stand at our graveside, or wherever our ashes might be, or wherever our body might be, and will call to us, child of God, come out, and will raise us up to live with him. We are not afraid because Jesus, God, has conquered death, is more powerful than death, has bound the death that would bind us, has taken away the tyranny of death, has conquered death not by force, but through love, by the life and death and resurrection of Christ for us. Right outside the wall of this church is an interesting sight. It's our country churchyard. It's our columbarium where we have the ashes and the memorial stones of people we love who have gone to Christ before us. And right in the middle of that columbarium is the old baptism font that used to stand right here. And when we study baptism in confirmation, I have the class go out there and I say, why is this baptism font here? This sign of life surrounded by death. And then we find the stone on which is engraved a passage from Romans chapter 6. Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from death by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. This is God's gift of death to end all deaths. Because when we were baptized, we were drowned as a person afraid of death, and we were brought out to new life as a person who does not need to be afraid of death. That is the gift. In this font, God frees us the way Jesus freed Lazarus. We are free from the fear of death. We are free from having to live for ourselves. We can live for others, and we are free to live beyond the grave. In a few minutes, Howard Ward Holmes will become part of the body of saints through baptism. And this All Saints Day is a day when we remember, we honor, we give thanks for the youngest child to be baptized among us, to the oldest person here, to the martyrs of old, to the loved ones in our lives who have gone before us to Christ. We give thanks, we remember, and we celebrate that we are one. We are one Christian community. We are one holy Catholic church, as we recite. We are one. We are held together now, in the future, and into eternity. We are held in the arms, the loving arms of a God who has victory over death. Thanks be to God. Amen.